way back in the Old Testament. Very first chapter, 1 Samuel. May we pray. Loving God, our Father, we praise you on this special day where we reflect upon our mothers that you have provided. What can we say? When our mothers meant so much to us. Their love, their care, their concern. Oh, the love of a mother. Only God could provide such love. So we thank you for our moms. Many of us today have celebrated today, and our moms are with you, Lord. Others are blessed to have their moms. One day I'm going to get to see mine again, because mine believed in Jesus, and so do I. And so those that have their moms today, I pray they'll just enjoy them, love and respect them. And I pray that moms will just look upon their children as gifts from God to share the love of God with them, that one day we all might be together in a place called heaven, to never be separated again. Lord, help me as I stand here today. Thank you for the singing and for those that brought it today, Lord. Bless them, encourage them, use them. We'll thank you always in Jesus' name for all of our blessings. Amen. When God needed a special person to do a job for him, you know, he often chooses a godly mother. You ever thought about that? As I was thinking about this, I thought of some great men God used throughout the scriptures who had godly mothers. Let's talk about the mother of prayer, first of all. Boy, that's a good one to get started on it, to have a mother that prayed. A mother that was God-fearing. A mother that knew that only God, get this, could help her. And such a person is that in 1 Samuel and the first chapter. And look down at verse number 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk, now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Can you feel her pain? And she vowed a vow. Listen to this. And said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man-child, then, notice this, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. What a display of faith as she cried to God. She wanted a child for God to use. Do you want a child for God to use? I'm told my mother prayed that I'd be a preacher. I need to have a talk with my mama. I want y'all to get this mother. This mother couldn't have children. Now, her husband had another wife, and she could have children like, I mean, no problem. She could look at her husband, they'd have a child, you know? That was just about like that. No, Hannah, she just couldn't have a child. Did you know God is the one that controls that? If God don't want you to have a child, you're not going to have one. I don't care what you do. But if he wants you to have them, you're going to have them. You might take all kind of precautions, but God knows how to get in there. If that's his will. Hannah wanted a child for the Lord. That's what's so great about this scripture here. She didn't want it just for herself. She had a different motive. Did you know all your children come from the Lord? It's the Lord that gives children. What a display of faith as she cries to God. She wanted a child for God to use. She wanted to give God her child. Because of her unselfishness, God grants her petition. Later, about the age of 3, we think, she brings her child back to the temple and leaves him with Eli the priest to be used of God. Samuel later became a judge and a prophet of God. God used him for many years before he died. He was an old man. Greatly used of God. It was Samuel God used to anoint the first king of Israel, Saul. And later he anointed David to be the king of Israel. The prayers of a godly mother covered him as he served the Lord for many years with great honor. Samuel's mother's prayers brought him into the world by the grace of God and was with him as long as she lived. This is the kind of mother we all need, a godly praying mother. I'm afraid we don't have a lot of them anymore in our country. Let's look at another mother that God used. The mother who walked by faith. It was Sarah who was the mother of Isaac. The Hebrew name Sarah indicates a woman of high rank and is translated as she was a princess or a noble woman. According to Genesis 17:15, God changed her name to Sarah as part of a covenant after Hagar bore Abraham his first son, Ishmael. Remember that story? Sarah was the reason there was another son named Ishmael. But remember, God told Abraham to take his wife. They were living in Ur of the Chaldeans at that time. God said, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee," in Genesis 12:1. What a great story that is. God did not tell Abram where he was going. He said, get your mess together and go where I tell you. He didn't tell Sarah that. But she followed. Like a good wife's supposed to do. She's supposed to follow her husband. Think about this. Abram told his wife they were going to a land where he did not know where it was at. Men, what would your wife say if you got up one morning and you told your wife, we're going to a land, but I don't know where? Now, you think she didn't go by faith now? She listened to him. Amen? Amen? Are y'all asleep? After leaving the land of Ur, Abram took his wife and flock some 1,100 miles before he ever reached the promised land. And remember, they had herds and flocks to go along that had to be fed and watered 1,100 miles. Amen? Can you think of all the inconvenience of that with your wife? Yeah, that's what God told them to do. You know what? If God ever tells you to do something, it can be done. I could tell a long story about this church at that point, but I don't have time. Because we started out with nothing here. But I felt God put us here. And you know what? It's all paid for. And been paid for years. And remember this, church, I want you to get this. Some of you haven't reached that yet, but you're on the way. Abraham was 75, Brother Chavis, when he had to walk or ride a camel 1,100 miles. 75. And his wife was 65. I mean, that's hard on you when you're young, isn't it? And they had their flocks and servants to care for as they journeyed these many days. But like the popular song some years back, Sarah stood by her man. Amen. Now here's another mother. The mother who gave her son away. You heard tell of mothers doing that today? Give their children away, let somebody else adopt them. Well, that's better than murder on, though, isn't it? It was Jochebed who was the mother of Moses. She lived in Egypt where the descendants of Israel had been oppressed. They had been enslaved. And the Pharaoh had decreed that all the baby boys were to be thrown into the Nile because he feared they might become too powerful. When Moses, her youngest child, was born, Jochebed, therefore, hid him for 3 months until she could no longer hide him. A 3-month-old little baby. To save her son's life because she loved that little rascal. That's what they are at age 3 months, little rascals. Amen. To save his life, she made a little wooden chest of bulrushes, made it airtight with slime and pitch, and then she put her little baby in it, 3 months old. Don't y'all know that was something hard to do? I tell you, you got to have faith to do something like that, folks. And then she led that little chest. Can you remember? Can you just see her having to release that little ark on the river and let it go bobbling out of her reach. And she didn't know what's going to happen to her baby. But she loved it so much, she was willing to let it go. That little ark floated out there to where the Pharaoh's daughter happened to come to take a bath. It's hard to visualize the Pharaoh's daughter would take a bath at the river, but she would. And on just that occasion, at just the right moment, y'all think that's coincidental, folks? Not with God. It's not coincidental. Because always remember this, God's always got everything in control all the time. Lord, where is my hearing aid at? So Pharaoh's daughter saw this little ark out there, and they inspected and found this little baby in it. And moved with compassion, when she discovered the child, she decided, well, I'm going to adopt this Hebrew baby for my own. The sister of the child, Miriam, who was older, who had come forward, suggested to find her a Hebrew woman who would nurse the child. I'll help you find somebody to take care of the child. Pharaoh's daughter took the bait. Amen. She took the bait. I want to tell you, there's a God in heaven that's in control. And God just so worked it that the Pharaoh's daughter would allow the baby's mother to nurse it, to raise it. What an awesome God we got, folks. What an awesome God. You can't outfox God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thus Jochebed nursed her son till he was old enough and brought him to the Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her son. But you know, she had him long enough to tell him the story of the Jews, God's people. And Jochebed gave her son away, but she did not give her love for him away. She gave him away, but she still loved him. She did it for his good. She did it because she was a woman of faith. And she was trusting God to take care of her son. Folks, do we have any kind of faith like that today in the churches? Amongst the people of God? That we'll venture out to do something that we can't do? We can't do anything. Amen. Jochebed couldn't do nothing but give the young one away. But she could trust God. She can trust God, folks. You can trust God. It just means you got to obey God. When the Lord told her, "There's your man," she come and got him. Amen? Can I get amen?
My mama did.
Listen. Her God still allowed her to care for him for years. Sometimes you have to give in order to get with God. Same thing about our giving. We're supposed to give cheerfully, bringing our tithes, our offerings, our gifts to the Lord. And God blesses. A tither always gets more back than the person that chinchy. And look how God used her son. Moses was used to deliver Israel from the Pharaoh in Egypt later, and to build a tabernacle to the Lord for the people to worship. And also God used Moses to give the Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, etc., for the Jewish people. Many Bible scholars contend that Moses is the greatest person outside of Christ in the Bible. You think about leading 3 to 4 or 5 million people in a wilderness for 40 years. And they didn't have a cell phone. And that was his responsibility. Even led them through the Red Sea. It's quite a story when you read about in the book of Exodus how God used Moses. It's amazing. Let's look at another woman right quick. And that is the righteous old woman. Did you know you can't get too old for God to use you? Amen. Isn't that good? He might start any time, hadn't he? Yes, amen. Amen. The Lord might start any time. You don't get too old for the Lord to use you. Well, for example, we just talked about Abraham. He was 75 before the Lord ever called on him. Of course, he lived to be 175. In Luke chapter 1, the righteous old woman, it was Elizabeth who was the mother of John the Baptist. Elizabeth, another God-fearing woman. Are y'all noticing God is picking out God-fearing women to use to bring special people into the world that will give them a good understanding and spiritual training that God can use for many years to bless other people with? In Luke 1, beginning at verse 5, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abba, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Her and her husband both. Boy, what a compliment the scripture says about that couple. They're an old couple. Childless, by the way. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. Then verse 11, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. How would you feel if you saw an angel? But the angel said to him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Apparently, even as an old man, he was still praying for a young one. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. A childless couple. Now an angel tells Zacharias, Elizabeth is going to have a male child. What a surprise when Zacharias came home from his duties at the temple that day and told his wife the news. They were going to have a son and he was going to be greatly used of the Lord. Wouldn't you like for your children to be greatly used of the Lord? Later, Jesus said of their son, there had never been one born of women greater than John the Baptist. It was John who would later baptize Jesus in the Jordan River. Think about that. Another godly woman God chose to use. And one last lady we would like to talk about, one last mother, the Virgin Mother. What about the Virgin Mother? It was the Virgin Mary who was the mother of Jesus. The Bible says, and Christians believe that she conceived her son while a virgin by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are people who would say that's ridiculous. But with God, all things are possible. I still can't understand how a man and a woman can come together and a child can come into existence, much less having a child without a man. But God is able to do what He wants to do. Amen? Because He's God. He's the giver of life. The Bible says, and Christians believe that she conceived her son while a virgin by the Holy Spirit, and the miraculous birth took place when she was already betrothed to Joseph and was awaiting the conclusion rite of marriage. She married Joseph and accompanied him to Bethlehem, where later Jesus was to be born. And we know that wonderful story about Bethlehem. And we celebrate it every year at Christmas. And that story never gets old to me. It's just as refreshing and just as wonderful. And Easter on resurrection, it's the same old story that never gets old to this old preacher. I just love it because it's true. It's true. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. The Lord had done picked him out one. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. In Christianity, Mary is commonly referred to as the Virgin Mary, in accordance with the belief that she conceived Jesus miraculously through the Holy Spirit without her husband's involvement. Among her many other names and titles are She's the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint Mary, and sometimes referred to as the Mother of God. And think about it, Jesus was God. That's awesome, isn't it? That the eternal God, through the incarnation, could become human and come through a womb and be a baby, and grew up, and walk along the seashore as a human, and he was God Almighty. And yet he was as much a person as you are, but without sin. Folks, God can do it. God did do it. God did do it. In Christianity, she's referred to as the Virgin Mary. While Mary is highly esteemed as the mother of our Savior, she also needed a Savior. Now, the Catholics don't believe that. But Mary herself said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." If she hadn't needed a Savior, she wouldn't have claimed him as a Savior, would she? Mary, like all other people, was a sinner saved by the grace of God. And God saw in her a person that he could trust to raise his son. Has any mother ever suffered more than Mary? Mary knew that Jesus was God's son. That's something she knew if nobody else didn't know it. She knew it. The responsibility placed upon her was reproach, shame, ridicule, and gossip. What a burden she had to bear as a young woman, to be a young mother. Yet she accepted it because God had chosen her for this sacred responsibility. How many nights did she lay in bed and could not sleep wondering about this special child she was going to bring forth and his future? How she must have guarded him as a baby. You ever see a mother that loves her child? She don't want them out of their sight. Don't you reckon Mary was like that? She watched him as a child, as a young boy, and then one day she watched him walk away to fulfill the work God had ordained for him to do. And many, many mothers, their heart is broke when they see a child leave home to start a home. Because most of us parents want to hold on to our children. Think about Mary. One day, she had to stand at the foot of the cross. Mary, the virgin, stood at the foot of the cross where he was hanging and looked upon her naked son, bloody, dirty, bruised, condemned for crimes he never committed. Think of the love in her heart because she knew who he was. This was God's son. But don't forget, this was Mary's son. She knew more than anyone his mission and his purpose. How she must have sobbed hot tears. Have you ever cried hot tears that ran down your face and went in your ears? As you sob with a broken heart. No doubt she stood at that cross in such a condition. This was her son, her boy, although it was God's. And look what was happening to him, and he'd never done any wrong in word, thought, or deed. How her heart must have seemed to nearly burst. This was the Savior of the world, and he was dying for all those who were jeering, sneering, and uttering profanity and challenging him to come down from the cross if he was God. How helpless she was standing there enduring the mockery of a godless crowd. How well did she understand that the blood oozing from his wounds was to wash away the sins of all who would believe in him. Could she ever see, or did she know that in 3 days he would be with her again? I wonder, did she understand that fully? That in 3 days after this cross, they'd be back together. That he would conquer death and the grave. Mary indeed was blessed of God, wasn't she? Motherhood is important to God, folks. If you're a mother today, you are by God's choice. And you have a great responsibility. To fulfill the requirements of motherhood, one must be saved and serving the Lord. Without this, mothers lack the ability of teaching their children the love of God and to set the example of godliness they need to build their lives upon. If a woman is not a born-again believer, she cannot raise her children right. She can't do it. Look at many mothers today and look at their children. Many are in improper relationships, on drugs or alcohol, in prison, in trouble, in hell. Mothers failing the children God has given. And our country is drifting further and further away from Christianity. If mothers do not turn back to God, our nation is doomed, because we cannot keep going the way we're going and not receive the judgment of God. Mothers and fathers one day will be judged as to how well they provided a godly influence for their children. I shudder when I think, if I hadn't had a mom and dad that took us to church, I shudder. How blessed to go to church in a mule and wagon, or pushing the car to try to crank it to get there, or walking. How blessed to have parents to take us to church. And yet today in our society today, we got cars with heaters on them, air conditioner on them, and yet people have got other important places to go. And they will answer to God. No way around it. The benches used to be hard to sit on. I sat on them old lighter benches for years. Oh, I still feel how uncomfortable. Today we got padded pews. We got air-conditioned buildings. We got heat control atmosphere in here, environment. And people, they want to sit on a hot beach. God's not going to accept excuses. May God bless us again with God-fearing mothers. May God bless us with God-fearing mothers. Because we certainly need them again. The real love of a mother for her child is to teach that child they need a Savior. And they themselves make sure they're in church with their child. And I'm not talking about any church. I'm talking about a Bible church. And that cuts it down real narrow today in our society. There's very few Bible churches anymore. May God speak to hearts. May God challenge hearts. Let's pray for our mothers. If you have one, love them. And let's pray God gives us godly mothers in our society. Father, Lord, thank you for our moms that were godly. And we pray that, oh God, there might be a moving of the Spirit of God upon the present mothers of our society today, that they would see the need to have their children in a Bible church, that their souls would be saved, that they might live forever in a place called paradise. Oh God, open our mother's eyes to see the importance of motherhood. And may we as a society realize that the Word of God is so important and we need to live it day by day as we live by faith, serving our wonderful Savior that purchased our salvation upon a cross. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Lord speak to you today. The altar's open for you to come. Praise the Lord for your mother. Thank the Lord for salvation. Trust Christ as Savior if you need Jesus.